And you might like to turn in your Bible to Ephesians and chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we have spent some time looking at the Spirit of God's wonderful, wonderful ministry to make possible all that God, Christ did on Calvary's cross, which is impossible for us to ever come to grips with apart from the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God honoring the wonderful work of Christ, which brings us to God the Father, that we can understand God's wonderful person in a full, wonderful way. And an easy way, God tells us what he's like. He's three, and yet he's one. He's one, and yet he's three. And a symbol, a way to symbolize that. Take an equilateral triangle, equilateral, all angles, everything, equilateral. And on top, I put God the Father, the other corner, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All of them are equal in every way. And now I'm going to draw a circle around that triangle. A circle around it. They're all one. They're all one. The three are in one. The one is in three. Easy way if you want picture, because you're trying to say, how am I going to understand God? I need to understand God. Now, and the Spirit of God's ministry. So, in the process, as we have been sharing, and here, and we're looking at the Spirit of God's ministry to make valid, to make real, to make it work in your life. And after all, that's why you were created. What on earth are you sitting here for on earth? What are you doing? If you're going to say an evolutionist, an atheist, whatever you want to say, what are you doing? Nothing. Nothing. Watching the world, communism, socialism, Marxism, all of it doing what it's doing. Crazy. Crazy. And thus the elimination of God. So, here we share together the Spirit of God's ministry, and in the context a little bit of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So the believing heart has to stay with it to reckon itself dead and alive, and it needs to do so. So don't be sleeping. Don't be sleeping. And that's what the trouble with the disciples were. In the Garden of Gethsemane, they slept. And they slept, and they missed out. Now, so therefore, see then that you walk circumspectly, most carefully, not as fools, but as wise. And as we walk, redeeming the time. Why are we walking? Because we only have so much time, and the days are evil. So it isn't a time you can fool around, because the day is all gone, and it's not a good day, and the good day is becoming a badder day as we go downhill now, looking to the tribulation. So, wherefore, verse 17, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So we want to buy up the opportunity. We don't want to be foolish about it, and we want to understand what God's will is, and we cannot enjoy the success of walking with the Lord and buying up the opportunity. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, in that, and what's that going to do? Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So a very, very positive, wonderful opportunity just to go down the corridor of time and have a little bit of have a light, being in the light as you go down in the dark corridor, and have the light to benefit. Or like David of old, Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, you're always there, God. You're always there. Days are evil, but you're always there. So we want to walk in. So don't be drunk with wine. And the word drunk is in the present tense. Don't be made drunk. It's a command. Don't get made drunk. Intoxicated. To become drunk with wine. Losing one's senses. Self-government. Physiological dependence. And thus, in the process. Now, in order to tie that a little more right where you're, thinking of it, you can hold your finger here and go over to Proverbs chapter 20 for a moment. You know it because you probably have heard it somewhere. And Proverbs in chapter 20, picking up, if I may, and you'll note, Proverbs 20 and verse 1. Be not, wine is a mocker, a participle, to what? To despise. Wine is a mocker, to despise, to be reckless, to be wanton, to be scoffing, to laugh at something, in contempt, to make fun of something, to ridicule something. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, intensive. It's participle, keeps going. It's raging. What do you mean raging? The turbulency of the sea. A sea all when the wind and storm is blowing. It's not calm. It's very troubled, very active, in a most wonderful, wonderful way for us to see the storm, to realize, to show the storm, to see the storm in effect. So alcohol involves control. It heightens our physical, mental being, activity, psychomotor speed. Yeah. A depressant, physical weakness, impairment of one's thoughts, of how one thinks. It attacks the brain, attacks our walking, our breath, our urine, our blood, our nervous system. When you drink and you have the high, and then you go to low, high, low. That's what it takes. Now, keeping that in mind. Drunk, that's what it does. It takes, what do you mean? It takes control. You drink, it takes control. Drugs, the same. It takes control over you. That's the whole point. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't be doing that. Don't let wine control you. Don't let the system control you. On the contrary, I'll read verse 21. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You're not a very smart person that does that. To drinking drugs, it's the wrong way to solve the marijuana and all this stuff out there. And it isn't helping. It's already history. Think of human history. All the different things. People tried changing your sex, trying to think, way back years ago. When all that started in a big time way. And all of that started, and they're going to do it. And the system, Mayo Clinic and all those different things, did the analysis, said that isn't good psychological. That's not good to play with your mind like that in your body. And then it disappeared, and that just happened. And drinking, drugs. That's what they're saying now. All of it, it affects your brain. All of the stuff you're doing to try to cut the whatever your reasons are for pleasure and all of it is reducing your capacity, and it's affecting your brain and your makeup, and you don't even know it. And then it's going to be, yeah, it's all right, it's all right. It's keeping us. Why do we have the problem with drugs and the zillions of pills that come across into our country and all of that? Because we're looking for something, looking for something. What are you telling us in God's, what is God telling us in his word? Don't be looking for the system to fill your mind and help you get through things. Look to God. Don't let drinking do it. Don't let drugs do it. Don't get sidetracked in all this. It'll only ruin you in the name of making you survive a moment or two. And you go a moment or two, we did it, see, we get another shot or whatever we're doing. Now, so therefore, back over to Ephesians 5, and in the process, in Ephesians 5, if I may, and in chapter 5, verse 18, in contrast, and that little word contrast, some little words contrast, tell you to compare two things. And sometimes the word contrast goes from don't be drunk with wine, and then it sings out like a bow and arrow, shoots the arrow, whoom, but, B-U-T, but be filled with the Spirit of God. But be filled with it. Contrast, super, overcoming. Don't be filled with, be filled with the Spirit of God. And so in the process, as we're looking, so wine is going to go and cause us and waste, riot, like what we read in Exodus in Proverbs 20 and verse 1. And it wastes, it causes our behavior, and we lose. So in the process, and here's to be filled with the wine, present, passive, imperative. It's a command, just don't be drunk. But in contrast, be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled to invest, to bring, to what? To bring under control. To bring under control. You want to be, drugs control you. You're not going to be able to handle it by drugs, by drinking. You're going to have to, the Spirit of God is going to have to provide for you control. It has to have the influence. Doing it in a different way, you know it. DUI, I think DUI, driving under the influence. Don't be driving under the influence of liquor. Be driving under the influence of God. Contrast. Not liquor. Not the system. But God. Taking you down the corridor of time. Now, having said that, be filled. Be controlled by the Spirit of God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So God has to do what he does. Now, having said that, be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, what? That, I'm going to try to make that simple again. All of it simple. All of life is rather simple when you see it. And you see it, you have to make an effort to put it together. We live, obviously, in the presence of God. If you're going to take away and see it afresh, stand back. Stand back out there. Here's the James Webb telescope up there, out there. I think I just read. It's 1 million miles away taking pictures. 1 million miles away taking pictures of the universe. And if we're going to sit in that and we're going to turn around and take a look at Earth, we're going to look down at Earth and we're going to see it from outer space. And we're going to see it as it is. Not as people walking up and down the street of a city or a town. We're going to see it as it whole. So here's a God's wonderful, wonderful creation. And God's in the span. God makes himself known as the creator and savior, and everything in it reflects God. So therefore, looking to God. So we know the Spirit of God. We know the Spirit of God indwells us. When you get saved, I'm going to assume a lot now, assume you have all of this flesh in your mind. So when I say it, I got it. Otherwise, I say it, what's he talking about? To that. So I'll try to do the best I can. Otherwise, I have to repeat everything to myself 4,000 times. So I see it. So therefore, when you get saved, the God, the Holy Spirit, he saves you. Christ died on the cross to save you. The Spirit of God saves you. Now, so in the process, the Spirit of God, so the indwelling of the Spirit of God, and you know that from John chapter 15, 14, etc., the Spirit of God will do it. Traveling you. And so the Spirit of God is there. And you know, if you read in Romans chapter 8, we'll do it just for the fun of it. Well, do it better than that, just to remind ourselves. Chapter 8, just bouncing along here. And in chapter 8, picking up, please. And as you know, the old sin nature, verse 6, chapter 8. 6, 7, 8, verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But in contrast, verse 9, 10, and 11, but you are not an OT in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If you got saved, if so be that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, finding a home in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies, and by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So the Spirit of God, that's why you know in 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 and 20, that you're bought with a price. You're not your own. You belong to the Spirit of God. That's what happened. Christ bought you on Calvary's cross with his precious blood. He saved you. And so when you receive him, you receive the wonderful benefit, and thus you belong to the Spirit of God in order to belong to the Son of God, in order to belong to the Father. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, what else do we know? We know the Spirit of God does that. Now, we know that God and his wonderful, wonderful, wonderful person is invisible. And therefore, you know, he is up until Christ. What do we know? Adam and Eve walked with God. And Enoch walked with God. And Noah walked with God. And Abraham walked with God, et cetera, et cetera. Moses walked with God. No one sees him. No one sees him. They're very conscious of God. They didn't need a whole lot of help. They just, is God. And God says, walk before me, be thou perfect with your whole heart. So we do that. We didn't have any Bible. We didn't have anything. Our sight was probably better in a sense because we had sin had less effect on us at that point. And so therefore, in the process, looking to God, we're going to go down the corridor of time and we're going in front of the invisible God. And in the process of being in front of the invisible God, we need to understand that. You would think people would understand that, but they don't understand that. What do you mean? God said, I'm always present, you can't see me. Okay, I can't see you. No, you can't see me. You won't see me. Moses can't see me either. Moses would like to see me. You can't see me. I'm God. Remember the triangle and the circle and God and the universe and trillions of stars are a little drop in the middle of God. Now, how are you going to see him? How are you going to see him? We can see the star. We can see what he creates, but you can't see him. So therefore, keeping in mind God's wonderful, wonderful person and that he's invisible. So therefore, as we go down, down, and you know what he said to Thomas, Thomas in the process, chapter 20, chapter 20. Then in chapter 20, to Thomas, etc. Thomas was able to go, except I see him, I will not believe. And therefore the resurrected Christ stood in front of him and said, put your hand in my side. Here's my holes, here's the hole. Put your hand in it. Here's my hands. See them, the hole. See them. And Thomas, you test me. Here I am in front of you physically. You can test me. And therefore, verse 27, then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side and be not faithless, but believing. That's pretty awesome. Just shove your hand into my hole, into that wound that's unhealed. Why is it unhealed? My blood's all gone. My blood went. And I took and my body's resurrected. Verse 28, Thomas answered and said unto him, Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, and thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen, and yet have. Blessed are you that don't see. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they didn't see. Moses didn't see. Why do you have to see? That's the question. Why do you have to see? You shouldn't have to see. I'll tell you, man, everything around you evidences God's awesome person, including our own body. Over to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, chapter 1, just do it again so you remind yourself. 1 Peter in chapter 1, and you'll note, picking up in verse 7. 1 Peter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, physical appearing, you'd be able to see him, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So you're trusting God in his most wonderful way, in his most wonderful person. What's the purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ? To explain God for us, to put a visible, give, to give an, a, to give a visible expression of the invisible God in front of you, to make what you can't see, see, on your terms. Not to see some scene image floating in space. Another person, you're made in his image and likeness, persons. And thus, God is going to show himself in Christ in a person, because that's what you are. And you'll be able to identify and relate to him. I am, I will, I ought. He is, I am, I will, I ought. I have all of those. I am, I will, I ought. Decision and moral capacity, etc. So therefore, we want to understand quite clearly that we are to stand before and look before. We're looking to the invisible God. Now, if you're going to enjoy walking with God, and you're going to apply the scriptures, you're going to have to go, and the Spirit of God's going to have to help you. Now, God, what am I going to do? I have to understand how to appropriate you. I can't see you. I can't see you. So you told me, Acts 1:8, you tell us that you're going to give us power to experience the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So God's workmanship and his working and his outworking are all going to take place in your heart and head, and all the while God, in your looking to God to outwork his will, Ephesians 5, in your life, he's busy taking care of the universe that he created. So everything is God at all times is taking care. He's watching the little bird over there. He's watching the raccoon over here. He knows it all. Now say again, it's gone. It's gone. So, what are we going to do then? Then we're looking for God to outwork his wonderful will in his most wonderful, wonderful way, in the way that he does it. So God's fullness for power, and power for fullness. God gives power to enjoy the fullness of your relationship to God. And your relationship to God is going to be fine, full of power, life. That's what it's going to give. So therefore, God is going to give his wonderful fullness for power, and power for God's wonderful fullness. We're going to have the fullness of God because of the power of God, because of the Spirit of God in a most wonderful way. And you know, in the process of all of that, in Ephesians, etc., chapter 2, 22 and 23, we have to go and look to God. Chapter 1, 22 and 23, the Christ is the head of the body, and he enjoys the fullness of God. The body, the church, that's us guys down here, we enjoy the fullness of the head. So the body is full because of the head, and the head makes the body full, and the fullness of the body answers to the head. You've got to have the body full. The head gives your body, your nervous system, all your systems function to honor the head, the brain. Your brain's busy doing what it does. And it needs the power. It has power. It's in the nervous system, etc. Power for the whole body to function in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So now, and we talk about the vine and the branch, and the branch enjoys the fullness of the tree, using a tree. It enjoys the fullness of the tree, fullness. Not nothing stingy about it. The branch enjoys the fullness of the tree 24 hours of the day, every single second. It never has a little bit, as we shared last time. It has the fullness. When you connect to the hose, connect the hose to the faucet, and you turn the faucet on, all that comes out of the faucets is found where? If you connect the hose to the faucet and you turn the faucet on, where is the water coming out of the faucet? That's a trick question. It's in the hose. How much is in the hose? As much as the faucet is letting into the hose. As much as the tree lets into the body. That's what it's doing in a wonderful way. See it now. And therefore, what are we going to do? How are we to understand that? Romans 6 and 11, etc. We're to reckon, we're to calculate it in a most wonderful, wonderful way, to calculate. You're dead in sins and alive in Christ. You calculate. It's just a fact. A fact about the tree. A fact about what? A fact about all kinds of things. Your physical life, your breathing. Breathing. And you're breathing in what? Air. If I took the air away, would you know it? Wouldn't take you very long, would it? If I took away all the air. But you can't see the air, can you? But you believe it. You can't see it. And when it's missing, you know it's missing, and you can't see it either. You just can't see it. But you believe it. You do it every day, 24 hours a day, and you live that way. You're by faith. You're breathing the air. And you don't stop breathing because you're believing you need the air. Now, so, and you're totally dependent on the, by, oh, did do that, thank you. When you take the air in, take it in through your nose and lungs, down through the esophagus, that meant the other doochiggy, down there, not the esophagus. You could send the air down there, but it won't do you any good. The average esophagus says there's no nutrients in air. No. So, but what else do we know? The minute I end breathing, I breathe in the air. That's what you're doing. All of us, most of us are breathing. Okay. Now what do you do to make the oxygen, et cetera, all of those things, carbon dioxide, all those different things? How do you do? You took the air in, and then you go down to your lungs with all these little fibers down there, hanging down there like this, hanging down and taking air in and out. You know, there they are, down there. Now, what did you do to make those fibers work? Once you take the air in, you lose control. You are totally dependent. Your job is to breathe. You are totally dependent on the system to take care of the air, your lungs. You don't make your lungs work. You are totally dependent on your lungs and your body. When you eat food, and you can take food, and we take it like we should normally, and we take food in, and we take that lovely looking piece of food, and we put it in the mouth, and we make it unlovely, right? And we chew the food up. We chew the food all up. That's what we do, chew the food up. And we do it, and all the juices come in, and the tongue, and all the system is making what? Preparing the food to get down your esophagus, 10 inches, I guess, down there, and two, anyway, down there, down your esophagus. And it's going to go down. You take the, you did it. Your job was to put the food in your mouth and chew it. After that, once you chewed it and it starts down your esophagus, you have no more control. You have no more say about that food. Your system does it. You are totally dependent on your system. You can't see it. You don't understand it, and you can't exp- And unless you're really into that thing, you can't explain it. You can't explain the air going to all your cells. You can't explain the food because you lost control. You don't have control. You are dependent, underline. When we look to God and believe him, we simply believe him. We breathe and we have air. We believe and have God. That's all he asked. He didn't ask anything else of you but to believe. And you believe. He does the rest. You eat the food, you breathe the air, and you're totally dependent. And you never have there's no one on earth that says against that. But when it comes to God, no, God, we don't do that. We are not gonna. You'll have to explain yourself, God. Explain yourself to us. And God can't explain himself because he's God. We can know him, but we can't explain him. Your system, you trust your system. By faith, you trust God. By faith, that's how you enjoy being filled with the Spirit of God. Do you understand? It isn't a trick. It's some gimmick. It's very, very rare to find believers that are filled with God. I don't mean, no offense, just in the big picture, I'll say it that way. It just isn't common. Just isn't common. Simple. We don't understand it. We have a bad understanding of how it works. Now, and if you took the time and did it, you're going to find that the believers are filled with the Spirit of God. That's how they are. The church in the early days, you don't find just Peter, James, and Paul. They were filled with the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're believers. They belong in the body. They breathe air like everybody, and they believe God like they're supposed to. And they believe God and trust God and enjoy God in a simple way. Simple way. And just believe him. And we did the recipes last time and the restaurant and all of that to help you understand, to help you get it. Now, you need, and I don't know, I guess that tape disappeared, someone said. So anyway, but in the process. So therefore we're looking to God and we walk by faith, not by sight. That's right. Because we eat, we breathe air by faith. We eat food by faith. We enjoy being alive by faith. So why not trust God by faith? Instead of having just physical life, why not trust God in whose presence we sit and have spiritual life? By faith. Yeah. What can we do to work the works of God? John 6. You turn there just for the fun of it. Turn to chapter 6 and you'll catch it. And you'll remember it. In chapter 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They'd like to be able to do like he did. And what he gave them a formula. No. He gave them 10 things to do, 20 things to do, to go exercise for 5 years and get ready for it. No. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Just believe me. You got 21 chapters of John and chapter 20. Just believe me. That's all. You'll catch it in the morning. Just believe me. See? And without it, my friend, we're religious Protestants and Catholics and Jews and everybody else, Islamic, Muslims, we're that, and we have nothing beyond it. We're just walking up and down and going and singing and doing, and you wonder why. It isn't. It isn't because it isn't there. It's just because we don't understand it, and we don't practice good biblical common sense. We just don't have it. Not you guys, of course. We just don't have it. That's the way it is. And it isn't a trick. We gotta go. I gotta fight for it. I gotta work for it. No, you don't. No, you don't. You just have to back to the branch. You just abide. Just abide. Thank God and be believing. Be believing. That's why we said years ago when you were saying all have said it. You need to be a believing believer. We're believers. Are you believing? If you're not believing, you're a believer. You may be a believer, but you aren't believing. And if you don't believe, you got nothing. You got nothing. Because if you don't, the Lord Jesus said, except you abide in me and I abide in you, John 15:5, without me you can do nothing. And he says it as clearly as possible. But the average Christian doesn't understand, don't believe. We're just, we got it, we do it. You can sing, read, preach, do it all. We can do the whole thing. But we're missing. We're missing out. And that's where we're at in our country, in our day, in these days in which we live. So therefore, we need to walk by faith as children of light, going down the corridor of time in God's wonderful, wonderful way. Now, so therefore, being filled with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God's going to do all that he has to do. Just like when the food goes in, the air goes in, once you breathe, once you chew the food, you're done. You have no more to say about it. Whatever you just ate, your body is going to do whatever it does, and you have no more to say about it. No matter, you can sit and write a whole book about it. You have no more to say what that food's going to do, how it's going to go in your body, because you're totally dependent on the food. You're dependent on the body and the 12 systems of the body to function. You're dependent on God to make it work. You believe God's word. I can't make it work. I believe God and his word. I can't make it no more than I can make the food be digested or the air absorbed. I can't. But God made my body to do so, and God, the Spirit of God's ministry, is to make it all work. So I'm not going to do it. God has to do it in his most wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, Romans 8 again. I'm just chatting. I'm trying to help you see something that's so simple and so common sense, so easy to understand. But we don't. We really don't. And you're going to give me a whole lot of stuff to do and not do to read. You can give me 10 scriptures. I can't make any one of them live. Only God makes them real. I can read the whole Bible. I don't make it real. no more than I make my stomach digest food and the air into my lungs and my body. My body does it, and God does it. Now, I don't know how to say it. So you can't enjoy the truth. Romans 8. You know all these things. Chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Verse 26, our weaknesses, our failures, our faults and fears. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. No, we don't. But the Spirit of God, Himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Spirit of God is going to have to outwork the will of God, which you read in Ephesians. Verse 27, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he that maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And the Spirit of God is outworking the will of God in the believer's heart, inch by inch, the same as the food, the same as the air, and the same as God. And you abide in God's wonderful person. It isn't a trick. You just abide. You believe him. You believe your air, your lungs. You believe your body's digestive system. You believe the whole thing. Now practice it. Practice it. That's all. You don't want to practice it? No, I don't want to think about it. You see? Then you don't enjoy it. How are you going to enjoy it? We're reading the words. They're wonderful things. I don't know what to pray for. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what the next 10 minutes are going to be. Yeah, we make believe. It's for real. God does. So what am I doing? I'm looking to God to all work his wonderful will in our little old lives. That's what we're doing. And then we're going to do it. Do we do what we do? But God, the Spirit of God, being filled with the Spirit of God, under his control, driving under the influence, under his control, God's going to do it. What's he doing? He's looking to God the Father, in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ's saving work. Now he's able to go, and the Father is able to go and bring the outworking of his wonderful plan and will for our lives to bring it work. And the Spirit of God, because of the work of Christ, is able to hear and get the message. And all that God the Father has in mind, made possible by Christ on the cross in his death, is now brought to the heart. And the Spirit of God in the heart is outworking the will of God, praying. With groanings, there's no way you can explain yourself to me, God. How are you going to do the next thing? I can't, you couldn't. If I tried to explain it to you, said the Spirit of God, I couldn't. With groanings which cannot be uttered, I'm going to do what I have to do. You trust me. The food goes down my stomach, and the acid, the hydrochloric acid, and all the different stuff comes up, shoots into your stomach, and does all those different things. All the different thing, acid killing the stuff that isn't so good, and all of it's going. So here it comes, doing what it's doing down there. I don't control any of that. I don't. My body does. God, the outworking of my 24-hour day has to come from you. I can do what I do, what I understand, eating and breathing and believing, but I can't make it work. You have to make it work in the way that you do. So therefore, God, looking to you to all work. So thus in closing, our time is gone. Though we aren't having a choir, are we? No choir. Okay. You know, in Philippians, work out Philippians 4:12. 2:12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You can't work anybody else's out. Your stomach will not help my stomach. Do you understand? Each has their own stomach, and they have their own lungs. If you don't have a stomach and lungs, forget it. Understand? That's all personal. So work out your own salvation. That's personal. You can't work out anybody else's. You can't breathe, you can't eat, and you can't believe for anybody else. You do it all by your lonesome, or you won't do it. And if you don't do it, it's wood, hay, and stubble. I gotta quit. You got the idea. I'll begin. If it wasn't simple, my dear friend, where would you be? Consider it, the power of God. It's out of our reach. Not anymore. Not anymore. Anyway, thank you. Thank you very much.